listening to The Basic Show with Bay Ragney and Sick Nick Wilkinson.
Oh my God, we are so random.
Call from Nick.
For, hey, we connected on the first try this time.
I, you know what? It was weird. Like the other day when I did that interview with Norman Matthew, I answered the call, but then it kept ringing and ringing. It wouldn't stop ringing. It was weird.
Really?
Yeah, it was totally freaking weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it worked, so who knows? And it's working now that we're good. What's going on, man? How you been, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm eating these coconut cream eggs that I made. I know it's not Easter anymore, but I couldn't find them, so I decided to make them myself.
So what are they?
They're just like, you know, like the little Easter eggs that are like covered in chocolate and they got like the coconut cream inside.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
I follow this website. It's called Taste of Home, and there's a whole Philadelphia section, and it's like recipes on how to make like things that are traditional to like the Philadelphia area, like butter cake and Stock's pound cake and stuff like that.
It's weird. Like it's funny you bring that up. Like it's weird how you know, things from Philly are naturally popular all around the country, food wise, but you know, and we can go into this. I don't want to go crazy on it, but we can touch on this.
So we do a whole episode.
We totally could. So I also now run here. I've started here the Nashville Restaurant Review, and me and Coco are putting this together, and we're going to start doing a podcast now as well. And
right.
So the other night, one of the places that we order from is this Angelo's Picnic Pizza, which has amazing pizza. Amazing garlic knots and mozzarella sticks. They make homemade mozzarella sticks. So they have on their menu a Philly cheesesteak, which naturally it's funny. Whenever you see a place that's outside of the Philadelphia area put down it's a cheesesteak, they always have to put it's a Philly cheesesteak in front of it.
Right, right.
But it always includes green peppers, which I understand where that comes from.
No, they're the devil.
And don't get me wrong, I love green peppers, but not on a cheesesteak.
No, and especially not on a Philly cheesesteak. Like, there's some places in Philly, like, they're not, you can't even get green peppers on the menu. Like,
right.
You're right. I don't know where it comes from. It's just completely random. Like, I blame Jersey.
I blame Jersey. It's weird. I don't know where it comes from either. But, yeah, so green peppers for people listening outside the Philadelphia area do not belong on a Philly cheesesteak. And sadly, like, so this steak I got, I said this in the National Restaurant Review group that we have, Facebook group.
Right.
My goal is to find a place here in Nashville that has a quote-unquote Philly cheesesteak and let me behind the grill. And to cook for these people, because the way it was made the other night, it was, and I think I realized this when I was picking it up. Like, first off, I didn't even see a grill, and it was making me think as I was waiting for it. I'm like, wait a minute, where's the grill? And when we got it and opened it up, I was like, okay, and it was cut in half, and I split it open, and I was like, uh-oh. And it was like sliced roast beef lunch meat, kind of.
And yeah.
I think what they just did was just put it on the roll and put, had onions on there, so it weren't even like fried onions. And
no, and they were really long too. Like, were they too lazy to chop up the onions? you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
they don't know. They don't know because they didn't have the grill to dice them up with the meat.
Right.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. You get the fried onions on there, and you dice it up with the meat, and the juices out of the onions cook it in into the meat. The whole process.
Now, a really good place will put the onions down, like a thin layer of onions, and as they're grilling, they'll put the meat on top of the onions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. So that like flavor melts into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
So, I don't know, though, Jay.
So in Nashville, I'm telling you, I will be behind a grill somewhere, mark my words, making a Philly cheesesteak for these people the way it should be done.
That's what it should be. There should be an episode where you just make like 5-6 Philly cheesesteaks and deliver them to places that say they make Philly.
And then I want them to rename it to Bay's Cheesesteak.
Right. Now, I will tell you this. I get excited anytime I go into a place and they just call it a steak and cheese. Because at least then I know what I'm getting. You know what I mean? It's just steak and cheese. The only thing that mixes me up a little bit is like what kind of cheese did it have on it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
American or Whiz.
Now see, occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally I'll even go with like a provolone.
I'll do provolone over a Swiss.
Yes, I know how you feel about sweaty Swiss.
Yeah. That's funny.
That's funny, man.
And I figured I'd throw this out there because it was actually a topic I wanted to throw out there, and I figured you'd get a kick out of it, and it probably infuriates you at the same time. So the reason I was a few minutes late is we were finishing up watching another episode of Sex and the City, which we've been binge-watching, and we're on the whole series. We have two or three more episodes to go. So, yeah. And no, I've not seen Endgame yet.
I swear to God. By now, all of it has had to have been spoiled for you, too. Like, that's the thing that hurts me the most. Is like, there's a couple key moments that I was like, I can't wait to talk to Bay about when he sees it. And, like, by now, you had to have seen, like, random videos or clips or heard people talking about it. You know what I mean? Like,
the funny part is I truly, truly haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that gives me a little bit of excitement. Like, I don't get it, though. Like, you're talking about the culmination of, like, 10 years of watching these movies. And, like, you've just put it off for, like, 2 years now. Like...
You know what? And the thing really, truly is, like, I am a Marvel fan, but I'm not, like, an over-the-top Marvel fan.
Right. But after Infinity War, especially the way it ended, like, you think you'd be like, damn, I need to find out how it ends.
I just know it's going to be an emotional roller coaster that maybe I don't need it this time. Still.
I can respect that, because it is. Like, there were at least three key moments where I was openly weeping in the theater, and only one of them was tears of joy. So I get it. Like, it's just that one moment, that one singular moment where I was weeping, and it was tears of joy, and I had this big-ass smile on my face. Like, I imagine... that, like, you're going to feel a similar way. You know what I mean? And I want you to experience that. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's really, a safer thing for me to watch Sex and the City.
Right. Now, I've never seen an episode of it, so I don't know.
You know what? I really enjoy it. I guess it's maybe because of my love of, like, soap operas and stuff like that, or maybe it's just my love of love and sex. I don't know. I mean, it's basically about four female best friends. You know, you're going through their lives of love and sex. So, and it's, you know, it's got some fun. It's got some, you know, tearful moments. It's kind of like an unadulterated General Hospital minus the hospital.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's no boundaries. There's no censorship. It's not a network TV show. So, I mean, they let it all fly. So it's cool. So it's a fun show.
That's cool, though, man. And it's crazy, like, you discovered it now after the fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's one of her favorite shows, and you know, we've been going through and watching it, so it's been cool. It's been a fun ride. And I was saying over the other night, like, as we're closing in on the end of the series, like, I'm actually kind of bummed. Like, you know, like, you know this, watching shows, you feel like you're part of the show, the bond with the characters and all, and you hate to see them go.
Absolutely. I think one of the earliest memories I have from, like, Totally Driven Radio and us talking about TV and stuff was when I said something about, it feels like you're losing a friend, like a yeah. friend moving away. And you were like, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way, but it's true. Like, you feel like somebody that you have this deep connection with, somebody that you visited every single week, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, they're just not there anymore. And that, like you said earlier, that can be an emotional roller coaster, you know what I mean?
You know, and something we that happened when before we relaunched and we really never talked about or discussed is, and I think that goes right into this perfect topic, is, you know, the whole Arrow thing and losing the character of Arrow. And how, you know, that was such a important book for our life for the last, you know, 7 years, the year that we went on. Just going into the season, we knew what the end game would be of that, and we knew what it was going to take. There was many tears shed at the end of that series.
The truth is, like, straight up, I haven't recovered from it. I was just talking to our buddy Moondog the other day about this, how, like, both of us are kind of a couple episodes behind on The Flash, a couple episodes behind on Batwoman. We're both current on Supergirl because we love that show, but I think a big part of it is Crisis on Infinite Earths. It was so impactful, and it led into the end of Arrow that, like, it took an emotional toll, the deaths and everything that came out of it. Like, I'm not emotionally equipped to jump back into the shows yet. Like, they've moved on to the new storylines, but I haven't yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I haven't watched Flash since. Like, I just feel like, you know, part of it's gone. And I just don't know. I'm almost, like, scared to watch anymore because I'm asking myself, when's the end of Barry coming next?
Right. Absolutely.
I
think next year or the year after, you know, based on the whole Rona thing, but, like, when the new Green Arrow series starts, maybe that will be enough closure and a new beginning to sort of, like, revisit, but, like, I'm just not, I'm not ready. Like, it really took an emotional toll on me. Like, I wasn't expecting Arrow to be as good as it was. I wasn't expecting to get as emotionally involved. I definitely wasn't expecting it to launch an entire universe of TV shows. You know what I mean? And then to end like it did, too, with such an emotional punch, it's tough. It really is.
Yeah, you know what? And you know, we've talked about Arrow so much over the years. And I don't think Stephen Amell has gotten, still to this day, probably enough credit for bringing a character that was such a secondary, maybe even like, third or fourth rate DC character to the forefront to where, you know, I put him on the level of a Batman now in my eyes, you know, and his portrayal of that character just brought so much. You know, you watched, you know, you grew up with Stephen Amell over the years in this role as Oliver Queen, and the good side, and you know, it was such an inspirational character, and I don't think it could have nowhere been done without, you know, if you put anybody else in that role. I mean, Stephen Amell made that role in that show what that was.
Absolutely, and you saw him grow as an actor as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? You look at some of those early episodes and there's some questionable choices, you know what I mean? Some questionable episodes, but like as it grew, he grew. And at the end, you know, he's like the veteran, you know what I mean? And he's got all these new rookies around him and you're like, oh wow, this is crazy. And you're right. I think it would be fair, I think, to compare Stephen Amell's portrayal of the Green Arrow to Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal of Iron Man. They both weren't mainstream. So, like, they're not Superman. They're not Batman. They're not Wolverine, Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, but somehow the performance elevated those characters to a point where, like, lots of people who didn't know who the Green Arrow is now know who he is.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. So,
and in my opinion, the show had the hands down best DC villain since Smallville's Lex Luthor in Slade Wilson. So,
And I'm still very still very bummed they did not bring him back for any of the final season.
Yeah. They did manage to bring a whole lot back.
And
just not him was questionable, you know what I mean? He must have really rubbed somebody the wrong way.
Exactly. I mean, it was really nice the way they, you know, each week they were literally closing up chapters of Oliver's life. It was really nice the way they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this. I was half expecting Ra's al Ghul to return, and he never did, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was also sad, too, because you literally were seeing each week the closing of a chapter of the book of Arrow and Oliver Queen, and you just knew what was coming, and each week was just an emotional, it was draining. It was really a draining season.
Absolutely, and there were some stunning performances for some new characters, like the way the girl that plays Mia handled it, as well as Sarah. Big props to Katie Lotz for playing her facial expressions when Oliver finally kicks the bucket. Like, just totally broke my heart.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
absolutely,
I'm chewing.
Man. Not a cheesesteak, though.
No. I'm going to shock the shit out of you on what I'm eating right now. Because I'm shocked. Like right now, when I'm eating, Coco's in the kitchen, and she made up eggplant.
Really?
Yeah, eggplant, and she marinated it overnight, and in like a balsamic vinegar, and it's got some like diced up onions. what else is in here? What is that? The chili sauce? Sweet chili sauce. Is there pineapple in here too? No, it's okay. So a sweet chili sauce. Garlic, panko breadcrumbs, and what's the seeds? Oh, the seeds is from the chili sauce. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That
doesn't sound bad. I like eggplant, though.
It's
pretty good.
Delicious. It's really, really good. Yeah. Yeah, so
spicy?
No, it's not spicy. It's not spicy. But yeah, so I'm eating eggplant, which is a rarity. Like, I did never like the eggplant until and white rice. I've never liked eggplant until I came to Nashville.
Oh wow! So not even like eggplant parm.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh wow!
And it's crazy too because when I was a kid, my grandmother used to make it a lot, eggplant parmesan. It used to smell amazing, and I used to like, oh my god, like I wanted it so bad. And I remember, and I was like, no. I come here, and I don't know, Coco's twist on it is just a lot better than my grandmother's. So, it's a beautiful thing. So,
now Becca, my daughter Becca makes a really nice eggplant parm, and nice. Well, another one we really like is Baba Ganoush. I don't know if you've ever had that. That's like a mashed eggplant.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's got like tahini, which is like this sesame oil and lemon, and she puts pomegranate seeds in it and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and you kind of make, it's almost like the Lebanese or like Palestinian Egypt area like version of guacamole. You just make it with eggplant instead. Yeah. Really good. And if you use a nice, good olive oil, yeah.
And what do you put it on, or do you just eat it like that?
Usually, you know, in that area of the world, they use, like, pita bread or chips or something like that. I use, like, tortilla chips because we're in Arizona.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Or if I'm trying to go, like, low carb, I'll just use, like, celery.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going over a list of topics I had, and I want to. I'm sure you said you're really curious about this one. A mattress, removal of a mattress. So
yeah.
When we moved into the new spot, we had at the old spot, we had just the one bed. And when we came here, we got new beds for everybody. But
right.
They weren't going to be delivered for a few days. And we didn't have nowhere for me and Coco to sleep on, so we brought just the mattress from the old bed at the old place. And, after the new ones came, I was like, all right, well, usually there's like a bulk trash pickup or something like that.
Right.
And where we live in our complex, the trash men don't come around. You literally got to walk, it's like a block away to the community trash compactor and put the stuff in there. Well, you can't put a mattress there. So, and we couldn't find out who to call. And then one of our neighbors is actually on the board here, is actually, I think, the board president. And she's like, oh, you have to call, and it's going to probably be anywhere from like $100 to get it removed and all. I'm like, what the hell? And
then
one of our other neighbors was, he was getting work done on his house, and he's like, I have this trash removal service coming. He goes, you'd be more than welcome to bring it over when they come and dump it in their thing. He's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, dude, that would be awesome. So, like, 2 weeks ago, he told me, he's like, they're coming on this day. He's like, they'll be here at, 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. I'm like, all right, cool. And I thought they were just coming and going to dump a dumpster for the day, and he was going to load it up, and they'd pick it up the next day. So at, like, 10:30, I went out there, and they were already gone. I'm like, oh. He's like, yeah. He goes, I thought I told you, like, they were just picking up and rolling. I was like, I'm sorry, whatever, but wasn't clear, no big deal. I'll take care of it. And I kept saying to Coco, like, I'm just going to cut this fucking thing up. I'm just going to cut it the fuck up. And she was like, you can't cut it up. It's impossible. You can't cut a mattress. I'm like, I'm going to cut this mattress up. You watch. So I Googled how to cut up a mattress. And lo and behold, you can cut up a mattress. So I got an X-Acto knife and I cut the layers off and unwrapped the spring part of it. So that was separate.
Okay.
So I did that. Took that to the dumpster one day. The rest of it was literally like a thing of springs, and each set of springs was individually wrapped into like this cloth that was all connected by perforation. So I literally then just each day would rip a strip off of springs and take it to the dumpster, rip a strip and take it to the dumpster. So I slowly removed over like a 3-4 day thing, the mattress piece by piece by cutting it up and stripping it down and not paying a dime.
Now, the downside to this is, like, at some point you must have had a half cut up mattress in your house.
I did for a few days, but it was better than having the full mattress in my house stole. So it's all gone, disposed of, and taken care of.
Oh, wow. That's crazy, though. That much money to dispose of a mattress.
Yeah, dude, because they have to come out special, like, just weird. And they don't have, like, picks up your trash door to door. It's just like community
right.
For the whole complex.
Now, I got to be honest, though, like, you're a better man than I am, because, like, what would have happened with Nick Wilkinson is he would have loaded the mattress up into the van, went to the Home Depot, and dumped it in the dumpster. You know what I mean? Like, there would have been no, like, cutting it up. There would have been no talking to people about using their, I just.
Well, the first problem with that for me was I couldn't fit it in my car. Second part
okay.
Where it's not even actually a dumpster. It's literally a trash compactor. Like it's a giant, it's almost like a two-story thing. Like you got to dump your trash into one section and it drops down into the compactor and then it gets compacted. So I had to make the things enough to get into the compactor door.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So there I was every night at dark, dragging a piece of the mattress as I'm walking the dog to the dumpster.
That is so funny, man. Now, on the flip side of that, and I think I told you this in our private chat, We have bulk trash, you know, where they come around, I think it's every other month, and you can get rid of your big stuff, your huge boxes, lawn and leaf stuff, whatever you have.
Right.
And I like to go around, like, I'm super white trash, so I like to go around and, like, look at people's stuff and judge them, and then also see if there's anything that I can take and sort of, like, repurpose or fix up and sell or anything, you know, that's got a little bit of hustle to it. And we took two crib mattresses from the trash, and I don't know how long it's been since, and you're a pretty old dude, crib mattresses nowadays, they're not like our mattresses. They're not like super absorbent. They're usually made of like some sort of plastic, you know, at least on the outside. So we took them, we put them in the garage, hosed them down, scrubbed them clean, made them, you know, bleached them until they're white. And all of that took about $2 worth of stuff from the dollar store that we already had in the house. And I resold each of them for $50 at the, not the Goodwill, but like the secondhand baby thrift shop.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. So $100 in my pocket on some free mattresses. So.
That's freaking awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, man. I like to do stuff like that. Even sometimes we'll just take, like, end tables and we'll sand them down and restain them and then just bring them to Goodwill. Even if it's only, like, $10, it's 10 more bucks than I had.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm with
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I like doing that stuff.
Sometimes I'll reuse stuff myself, but it really depends, too, you know.
So speaking that I'm the old dude, my birthday is next week, my 50th birthday.
Crazy. Do you feel 50?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No?
It's still a scary thought to me that I'm actually going to be 50.
And do you think back to like when you were younger and you were like, man, what's it going to be like when I'm 50? That's like an old guy. Like, you don't feel like an old guy. You're still out there. You're still hustling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you definitely, when you're a kid, you look at a 50-year-old a lot different than when you're actually hitting that age. But also, too, I mean, and the scary thought is I honestly didn't think I would actually live to my 50th.
I can relate to that, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a really cool milestone, a milestone I'm proud of and happy to hit. And even though under quarantine, it's going to be a new time, and I you know, whatever. I'm can't wait for it to be here and to do it up.
It's not going to be the Bay Fest that we were originally planning.
No, it's not.
Oh, the Rona got you, but that's all right, though. It's new now, though, too. Like, this is a big milestone that you're going to be celebrating with your new family, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. It's all just a blessing, everything, you know. My life now, hitting 50. Even, you know what, even the quarantine, I'm loving it. I truly am. I can't ask for a better person to spend quarantine with and a better family to spend it with. I'm truly having the time of my life and very happy to be quarantined.
Yeah, see, to me, that's like, it's no big deal to me because this is my life anyway. You know what I mean? Like, when I go out, outside for me is like Facebook and Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't really notice any difference. I think my daughter notices a bigger difference because of, you know, school and everything like that. But for me, it's just, you know, par for the course or whatever. So I'm fine. You know what I mean?
Her job with the animals, is she still able to do that?
For a while she was, and then when things started getting real locked down, now they're not. There's three people that have been designated as, like, the people that will come in every day, and they basically just feed them, do all the doctor-y type stuff, and then immediately leave. Yeah.
Right. Wow. It's such a, what do you think about, like, all these freaking idiot protesters and opening the beaches back up in Florida the other night? And, like, I just think it's stupidity.
I, I think it's stupidity. Like, I'm not saying that I don't relate to their struggle. You know what I mean? Like, anybody that's out there and is like, damn, unemployment doesn't pay the bills, or I couldn't get unemployment, and they're sitting at home and they're wondering how they're going to feed their family in a month when they run out of money and stuff. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
I feel that struggle. Like, from somebody that grew up really poor and without a lot of the time, I'm totally on board with that. But, like, it's so selfish. Like, I'm not even talking about them killing themselves or them getting infected. I'm talking about all the people that they're then potentially going to infect. You know, just going to the beach, it seems like on the outside you would be like, okay, well, they're not really bothering anybody. They're just going to the beach. Let them worry about them. But, like, then they're going to go to 7-Eleven and they're going to touch 10 things. And then they're going to go eat gas and they're going to touch the pump. And they're going to go to the library and touch the door. And other people are going to come by after that and potentially be infected. And, like, that's what worries me, is that, like, if I do everything I'm supposed to do, if I follow all the rules, I can still be infected because some dumbass decided that, you know, he doesn't believe that the virus is real, or it's just the flu, or, you know, some other stupid shit.
Yeah, you know, and also, too, like, I mean, all these people really need to do is just take a scroll through, I mean, their social media, their Facebooks especially. I'm seeing more and more people on a daily basis that are losing family members or getting infected. Lost my train of thought. It's truly, you know, it's not like it's anywhere near done. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's still very alive and well, and just putting these people back out there in the public like that is just, I think, too soon. It's careless, you know.
I have a fear that this is phase one, that because of this, because of the openings and, you know, what the president wants to do and what other, you know, states are protesting and all this, that what's going to happen is we're going to do like a semi-open where things start to open back up, and then boom, it's going to hit again, and it's going to hit twice as hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I already, like, because of my anxiety and shit, like, I already feel like I'm outrunning it. You know what I mean? Like, and I think, like, that makes me feel like it's only a matter of time, you know? And I read these stories of, like, I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about me getting it. Like, I've lived a pretty, like, I don't want to bring the show down, but, like, I've lived a pretty hard life. And, like, if it's my time to go, like, I've made peace with that. You know what I mean? Like, I've had enough struggle that, like, I'm okay with that. But, like, the thought of what it would, the strain that it would put on my family, the thought of them not being able to be in there with me when it happens, like, that bugs me. And then, of course, you know, the flip side of that, like, that happening to my girls or to my wife or something like that, that's really what, you know what I mean, gets me. And if all that happens because some jackass just, you know, didn't want to stay inside, or because they didn't believe it because what they support said that it's not that big of a deal. Like, that's just, to me, that's crazy. Like, it's so incredibly selfish. Like, even if you think it's a hoax, or even if you think it's not that bad, like, couldn't you just stay in and do it, like, just in case? You know what I mean? Like,
dude, it's like, and you know what, too? I think we've even touched on this over the last few weeks of shows, with this whole coronavirus thing, is just the fact that how that people truly don't know still. Like, you know, some people have more extreme conditions than others, and some people don't even have conditions, I'm hearing. Earlier, a friend of mine from working back in the car business, one of the dealerships I handled, back in the Philadelphia area, he put this up there earlier. I'm gonna read his status real quick. So I'll just mention this now. A little over a week ago, my doctor diagnosed me with COVID-19. Now listen to this. Over 2 phone appointments. I haven't been tested. It's been called presumptive diagnosis. In my case, my reaction was mild, although I've probably been contagious for a few weeks. Never had a fever, just tightness in my lungs, a dry sore throat, a dull headache, hot eyes, and occasional chills and queasy stomach. I've properly avoided contact with others. This morning, I thought I was completely recovered, and I'm starting my 72-hour countdown. I mention it for a couple of reasons. Don't believe anything you hear in the media about testing widely available because it's not. My doctor would have liked me to be tested, but I didn't meet the screening criteria. Someone I'm very close to, a more severe case than mine, and is high risk due to pre-existing conditions, and was also unable to be tested despite a doctor wanting it to happen. I understand the tests are limited and should be used carefully. I have no issue with that. But I do have an issue with government officials lying to us every day about the availability of tests. The other thing to mention is this. Despite the huge number of reported cases, it's clearly much higher than the stats indicate. I'm not in those numbers, and nor are most people who all have the symptoms, but don't meet the screening criteria for testing. We clearly have no idea how many contagious people are walking around right now. And anyway, I'm fine, and unless I have a quarantine, and maybe even I have those superhero antibodies, maybe have superhero antibodies now.
No, and that's what's scary to me. Like, there's a couple things in that that really throw up some red flags. Like, the first one is that presumptive positive. Like,
yeah, what's that?
That's just like, well, maybe you had it, but probably. Like, that's basically what they're saying. Like, based mm-hmm. on your symptoms, you probably had it. We can't test you because there isn't enough tests, but, like, you should probably just stay inside and stay away from people. But, like, he's right. Like, how many people then did he come into contact with before the presumptive positive, before he knew to stay in quarantine? And just because it wasn't severe for him doesn't mean that it's not going to be severe for the next person or the next person. And you know, say he shook a guy's hand and that guy might be fine. Not even, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that he doesn't carry it home to his 71-year-old grandmother who then dies from it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what responsible in staying inside, because he's like, it's not just about me and how I feel. It's about everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's like, I have another friend who I went to high school with who has it, and he's got it bad. But I mean, like, he's like, he puts up like statuses throughout the day and how violently ill he is, and you know, extreme pains and chills. And
right.
Just, you know, really, really bad. You know, where he was actually begging somebody to go to the store for him and get him some stuff he needed. And you know, it was just crazy, man. Like,
and that's still not how bad it can get. Like, he's not on a ventilator.
Right. Exactly. Freaking scary.
We talked about this the other day, and we wondered if there was a possibility that when I was in the hospital in January, if that's what was happening to me, when I was having a hard time breathing, it hurt every time I took a breath. Like, we were wondering about that, and nobody else in the house got sick. But the baby was younger at the time, so Kate made a concentrated effort to stay away from me.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, and they stayed away from me for almost 3 weeks. You know what I mean. So we wondered if that was the case, but the truth is, we'll probably never know.
And that's the scary part.
But what I do know is that the numbers do continue to get worse each day. You know what I mean? Like, right now we're trying to still, you know, quote unquote, flatten the curve, but like, it's still there. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't yet had a day where there's like, hey, there's no new reported cases.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's scary. Like, the other thing that scares me is the possibility that this could be like a recurring thing, like the flu. Like, is there going to be a corona season?
Yeah, like, and they're going to try to push, like, you know, how they do the flu shots each year now. They're going to try to push a corona shot each year now.
And I don't know about you, but a lot of times that flu shot makes me feel really bad. Like,
I've never gotten one. I've refused.
Oh, really?
I have refused to get one.
And yeah, I get them because of the diabetes and you know, my immune system and everything like that. But like, it makes me feel like crap for 3 days afterwards.
See, like, I would like, when I would go for my checkups with the doctor, he would always try to push it on me each time. And I said, look at him, like, I don't want that bullshit. And he would just laugh. And he's like, I know, you get it. Like, he knew, like, you know, he's just that's what he's got to do. He's got to push it. Like,
right. A lot of people don't even know either that, like, the flu shot, like, it only protects against certain strains. And there's tons of strains.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, It's only usually the most potent strains, the most prevalent strains that it, you know what I mean?
And usually, from what it sounds like, too, like most people I've heard who've actually got it, the shot, they end up getting the flu anyway.
Right. Or what they call, quote unquote, flu-like symptoms, which is just the flu.
Meanwhile, I you know, knock on wood, I never got a flu shot, and I don't think I've had the flu probably since I was a kid.
Oh, wow. See, that's pretty amazing. I think it's been a while since I've had the flu, but there was a point where I was getting pneumonia, like, once a year for, like, 5 or 6 years in a row.
Ooh, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, man. Like, there just seems to be a lot of, I guess, how do I explain what I'm trying to say? I guess it's part of America, you know what I mean? Part of the fact that, like, we haven't struggled in so long. We haven't had a war that's, like, taken its real toll on us as a country in a really long time. So, like, we don't know how to act. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how to sacrifice. We don't know how to not be selfish. It's not in our nature. We're so used to being free and being abundant and having everything that we want that it all seems like Nazi Germany, to quote tons of people online. You know what I mean? Like,
it's so crazy.
It really is. Like, it's,
Now, like, my buddy Anthony, you know, I've been through hell and back with this guy since, you know, best friend since 5 years old. He's a tattoo artist, and his girlfriend is a body piercer. So they haven't worked. It's like at least 3 weeks. I think he stopped working right before I lost my job. And you know, they don't work. They don't make no money. So.
Right.
He's been very adamant about, you know, stay at home and, you know, and he just put this status up 15 minutes ago. It's not going to be safe by May. Stay home. Don't rush this or it's going to fuck us all up for longer. Think about others and the sacrifices we've made already. A few more weeks or months can save a lot of people's lives. Don't be selfish. Your job is not that important unless you're on the front lines. Stay home.
I gotta agree with him, and I know it's tough, you know what I mean? Like I said, I know when you're struggling to provide for your family, when you're struggling to get food, like, and it seems like it would be so easy to just go back to work, but like, I think that's where we need to start learning to come back together as a community, you know what I mean? Like, with everything that's going on, with people getting sick, like, there's no reason that there should be somebody in our neighborhoods that goes hungry, like, I have food and you don't have food, then we both have food. You know what I mean? Like, it should just be that simple. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Which we had a neighbor a few weeks ago that we had just met, which I don't know if I told the story on air or not. I did a Facebook Live about it because I was so blown away. We were just so moved. We were, like, shocked and stunned. You don't hear of this, especially if just meeting a new person. So we met this neighbor of ours for the first time, and you know, he was asking us how we're making out with the quarantine and all that. And I was saying how I lost my job and, Maria's hours had been cut at that point. And, so we talked for like 15, 20 minutes and left. And like 10 minutes later, Maria's daughter comes running in with $40 that the guy came back and gave us $40 to buy his dinner. So we had food for, you know, tonight or whatever to put it towards. Like, who does that?
Right.
That was mind-blowing. Like, and then we were, like, trying to find him, and we couldn't find him. And then finally, like, a few days later, I saw him and just couldn't stop thanking him. Like, such a nice freaking dude. And, you know, I'll never forget that, man.
But, see, I feel like it used to be like that. Like, I remember, okay, so, like, a little bit about Nick here. We grew up, at least partially, in the PJs, you know what I mean? Like, the Lindenfield Project, the Bristol Terrace Project in Bucks County, like the legitimate projects, you know what I mean? And I remember, I must have been, like, 8, 9, my brother's a year younger than me, and I remember there was a neighbor, I want to say her name was Miss Fish, and she had two sons, Boo and Lil Man. right? And I remember that we used to go to church. We used to go to like Awanos, and we used to go to like the Sunday service. And it was Easter Sunday, and my little brother went with the older brother that week. And then they had two services per day. So the bus would come around, and they picked up my little brother, and it picked up the older brother, Boo, from next door. And then they came home, and they quickly undressed. And then I wore the older brother's clothes, and the little brother wore my little brother's clothes, because they were like nice, you know, Sunday, Easter Sunday, you know, dress clothes or whatever. And then we went to the second service together, and then we came back, and then like the whole family's had dinner together because it was Easter and stuff. And I'm thinking, like, people don't do that anymore. No. You know what I mean? Like, people would get their kids taken away for doing shit like that now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're right. Like, it's definitely seemed, you know, growing up in, you know, for me the 70s and for you the 80s and for you the 80s and 90s, neighborhoods were that they were neighborhoods and communities, and I can honestly say, like, this new development we've moved into is truly like that. The people, like, you know, we'll be sitting out front and just hanging out front, and neighbors walk by and they stop up and they come up and talk to you, and when they walk away, like, me and Marie kind of just look at each other and we're like, I can't believe how nice the people are here. It's just amazing. It's just rare. Like, it hasn't been like that in so long, but it
right.
is. In some places, you just gotta find that right spot.
It's just to me, it's a shame because we all have resources. We all have things that we're good or bad at, or things that we, you know what I mean, can help out in different ways. Like, and people, they don't even like. It's so rare, in fact, that when you do something nice for people, they're suspicious about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we traded some eggs for a bunch of fruit. We got, you know, like oranges and grapefruit and stuff. And we had an abundance of it, like boxes. And like, we showed up at the guy's house and he's like, I have like 8 trees and they're falling on the ground. And when they hit the ground, they start to go bad. So take as much as you want. And he literally put like 5 boxes of fruit in our, in the car. And like, so I was like, hey, you know, maybe we should like the guy on the right, he's got like a security camera that points right at our door. And like, maybe we should, you know, make friends with him. And I know the people to the left, they just had a new baby and stuff. So like, vitamin C is probably really important. I was like, why don't we go bring them? You know what I mean? We'll leave it on the porch and we'll knock and keep our distance or whatever. And both times they were grateful, but at the same time, you could tell they were like, why are these people doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why are they being nice? What do they want?
Yeah.
And it's just sad.
It is sad. It really is. Like, what happened over time to make people suspicious of nice people?
Right. Absolutely. I'll tell you, even to the point where, like, we have this place out here, it's called Tuba City, and Tuba City is right on the Navajo Reservation, and the Navajo Reservation is getting hit hard right now. They're so bad, like, for people that don't know about, like, the Native American reservations and stuff, a lot of them, they don't follow the same rules that the rest of us follow. A lot of them don't have the infrastructure that we have. A lot of them don't even have running water still, and they're getting hit really hard with the corona, and, like, St. Mary's Food Bank was out there the other day, and they fed like 20,000 people with like just cars lined up. You know what I mean? With people trying to get anything. You know what I mean? Just a meal, just some food, some bread. Like, it really didn't matter. And like, I was thinking, we have this stimulus money, and I'm making okay money right now with you know, writing articles and things like that. And like, I was just thinking, like, should we just take $100 or $200 and just randomly find a Tuba City family and just, like, give them $100 worth of food? Like, would that be weird to just drive up and be like, yo, I know you don't know me, but, like, here's some food. You know what I mean? Like, would
right.
they even accept it? You know what I mean? Like,
or maybe a gift card or something.
Right.
Like a, you know, a supermarket or something.
Well, I think the big problem is there is no infrastructure. There's no supermarket that they can get to because they closed down the entrances and the exits to the reservation. So we even know this guy whose wife went to visit her mom on the reservation, and while she was visiting, they closed the exits, and she can't get home now to her husband because they won't let them off of the reservation.
So where the hell is she at?
She's just at her mom's house, basically, yeah. Right? It's pretty crazy. And I don't want to just give the money to the food banks because you can't really say specifically where that's going. You know what I mean? Like, but, like, they're having a real hard time suppressing this virus. And then that's another thing. It's like, well, damn, am I exposing myself by giving it to them? You know what I mean? Like, it's just you have to weigh all of that, like. It just sucks. It does, because you want to help people, you know what I mean? Like, at least some people do, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you know, the big thing, too, with this whole quarantine thing that's going on, early on, it seems like it's starting to get back to normal, though, is the whole toilet paper thing, which, you know, shelves around the country have been depleted. There's been no toilet paper, and so for a couple of weeks, like what I was doing was the only place I can get anything close to toilet paper was going to the dollar store and using like either Puffs or Scotty's tissues. Clean.
Right.
And I come to discover this, that I would now prefer to use Puffs wiping my ass over like any type of toilet paper.
Oh, no, see, I don't know about this struggle. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I when it first went down, when people first started talking about this, I went downstairs and I was like, yo, like, I'm not sure, like, I think maybe we should think about going out and getting some toilet paper now before it gets crazy. And we went out, we went to three different stores, and we got, like, I don't even want, no, like 70 rolls of toilet paper or something. And so we've coasted through the whole time. And now it seems like the store, I was in the store yesterday or the day before, and there was diapers, there was wipes, there was pretty much everything you can think of. There was less still. You know what I mean? Like less of a quantity that there usually is, but there was still some there. So I'd like to think that that's getting a little bit better.
Yeah. Actually, the other day, had a big pallet. Now here's something I've noticed too. The day before, Maria took her mom to the supermarket and came back with, I think they went to a Walmart. Somehow she ran to Walmart or something, and she came back with three packages of Walmart brand toilet paper. She said that's all they had. She goes, I was able to get.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. The next day I ran to the supermarket to get some stuff. They had a pallet of Kroger brand toilet paper, 8-pack rolls. So I grabbed an 8-pack. But I just thought it was kind of funny. It seems like these chains are pushing their own brand of toilet paper and not restocking with other brands. You know what I mean? The more name brands that are pushing
their
agenda. You know what I mean? And it's kind of, I guess, like the way I was thinking of it is probably like a smart marketing ploy, because it's given, you know, people the chance to realize that you're trying the cheaper brand, but it's also the same freaking product.
Right. No, it is true that, like, I wonder if that's the case, if they're allowed to do that, like just say, no, we don't want, you know, Scott tissue. We'll just put our own brand in there. But, like, I also wonder, though, if it was a matter of, like, people do have to realize that these trucks, they while they seem huge, when you're talking about the things that go in an entire grocery store, there's pretty much a limited space for individual items. So I imagine the first couple shipments, the first dozen or so trucks that come in and out, have, you know, the standard shipments in. And then finally people start thinking, like, well, wait a minute. If we only have enough room for, you know, 500 rolls, why don't we do our 500 rolls first?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then hopefully maybe those other people get to push it onto Amazon or push it off to, you know, the websites or something like that. But, yeah, that's I think that's pretty much what we saw too here. There was a lot of diapers that were like the grocery store brand diapers and not like Huggies or Pampers, but like I'm gonna be honest with you, dude. Like I use the Fry's, which is I guess Kroger. I use their brand diapers exclusively because they're literally half the price of Huggies and just as good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy. So I was just actually Kroger just handed me a note and told me just like within the last hour, there was a protest in downtown Nashville. Hundreds and hundreds of people were gathered down there with their Make America Great hats protesting the quarantine. Like, no mask on or nothing, just out there. Like, this is the stupidity at its finest.
No, see, it wouldn't bother me, except I have this theory that, like, okay, so what happens if we have enough of these protests and people decide, like, all right, fuck it, we're going to send the kids back to school, and then that's a mistake. Like, it's fine to me if a couple jackasses want to go to the beach or if people want to go to the mall without their masks or whatever, because I can just stay away from the mall, you know what I mean, or I can just wear my mask. Like, that's not a problem, but, like, what happens when we don't have any choice and they want you to send your kid back to school or something along that nature? Like, then what? Are you potentially exposing them just because selfish people don't want to sit inside anymore? You know what I mean? Like, thankfully, summer's coming here in Arizona, so school isn't really an issue. But, like, summer comes early for us. What about East Coast kids? You know what I mean? Like, what about New York City kids?
Yeah, it's, you know... Like, they just recently, the other day, my daughter found that her school was canceled for the rest of this year. You know, I don't know.
Are they doing any online, or did they just end it?
No, they're doing online. They are doing online.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, just do it. Just do the online and shut up and whatever. Look at it as a gift. Here's the thing. Like, how many people, how many kids in school... you know, when you were in school, you used to sit there every day and whine and complain you didn't want to go to school. Or, you know, like, you don't want to work, you don't want to go to your job. You're now being given a gift. Take the gift, enjoy it, it's not going to last forever, it's a temporary thing, and just do what you got to do to not only keep you and your family safe, but your neighbor and everybody else's family safe. Like, just stop being selfish jackasses.
I think, though, what it is, like, some of these parents are finding out that, like, the teachers weren't lying. You know what I mean? That their special little snowflakes are actually little bastards. You know what I mean? Like, that they're mean and they're nasty and they're bullies and they're smartasses and they don't know any better and they don't know how to act and they have no home training. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah. I mean, Coco says it all the time because, I mean, she homeschools her daughter, but she sees, like, and I see the same thing from friends of mine, you know, complaining about, you know, either their kids being home now and they can't deal with it, they can't handle it, they don't want to deal with the teaching of it, and, you know, just, or their significant other. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of comical now, like, especially being in the good place that I am, you know, seeing this going on. It's just like, wow. Like, I don't know. I truly have looked at this whole situation as a gift, and I'm very thankful for it.
I know we haven't really talked as far as like bringing kids into the discussion and stuff, so I'll leave it very sort of basic, but like, that is one positive, like, happy kid. That's all I want to say. Like, like, Coco's kid is one of the happiest, like, smiling kids I've ever seen in my life. Like,
she's awesome. Yeah, again, a gift. She's truly been a gift. I can't say enough good things about both of them. So, to me,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's you don't find that too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to get sour and jaded and just like angry at the world, especially now. You know what I mean? When shit's getting canceled. My own daughter, you know, prom was canceled, graduation was canceled, like,
right.
Everything she was looking forward to was canceled, and for her to still be sort of upbeat and stuff, it definitely is a gift, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, the way I look at it now is, like, truly, like, I got that scratch off, and I got, like, you know, the $1 million a week for life, you know what I mean? Like, I've truly been blessed, so.
Absolutely, man, that's crazy. This whole thing, like, we could talk for hours and hours and hours about the corona and stuff and the way that it's affecting people. And it's just, I just wish people could just not be selfish. You know what I mean? And like every single one of them out there thinks that they're right. They think that they have all the information. You know what I mean? And like, I'm not a snob. I'm not saying that like you have to go to college to be smart, or even that you have to graduate high school to be smart. But like, I know people that are really dumb who think that they're like viral experts now. you know what I mean? Like, if you can't spell coronavirus, you don't get to have a damn opinion on how it spread.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's funny. People are funny. See, this is where though the whole thing where social media is a bad thing, because everybody now has a voice and they're trying to use their voice. They don't have a fucking clue to know what the hell they're talking about.
No, but they all say the same thing, like, well, my aunt's a nurse, and she told me, like, well, who cares? Like, just because your aunt wipes somebody's ass at 3:30 in the morning at, like, at the one nursing home in your small town, that doesn't make her a viral expert. That just means that she's a small-time nurse. You know, like, not every nurse is created equal, either. You know what I mean? And, like, people get on Facebook and they're like, well, I'm in the healthcare industry. Well, then guess what? That goes from anywhere from doctors who actually, like, treat diseases to CNAs who, like, wash your dirty dick. You know what I mean? Like, there's a huge realm in between there of, like, education, experience, where you're treating, you know what I mean? The kind of facility you're in, there's a huge difference. Just because you're in the quote-unquote healthcare industry doesn't make you an expert. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, it doesn't even make you smart.
This is true.
I know a lot of nurses that I would never let treat me. You know what I mean? Like...
Oh, man. So one more topic I want to throw up there, and then I'll let you take the floor and throw your topics out there. I don't know if you saw this, but and I'm not even exactly sure the full details. I was watching something the other night on it, but
okay,
one of my all-time favorite movies, That Thing You Do, with Tom Hanks and the band The Wonders, this, like, Fictionaries band from the 60s gets together and has this one-hit wonder, and they're doing a online reunion during this quarantine. And I was watching if they did an interview with Rolling Stone the other night. It was like a Zoom interview with the four of them. And so they're going to get together and play on Zoom or whatever. So they've been rehearsing, and it's going to be really cool. I'm not sure if they've done it or not yet, but I'm really excited by this. I truly love that movie. It's a fun movie. And I'm really cool to see that they're doing this. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
It's interesting to see how it all lines up. Like, if they're all in different locations, but they're all playing the same song, like, the timing has to be very on point. So that's really cool.
Yeah. You're seeing, I think the Rolling Stones did that last night. Like, they're doing all these, like, at home, like, things and all on TV now. And I think the Rolling Stones, I saw a clip or something. We did that last night. Other bands are doing it. So it's really a cool thing that's going on.
Yeah. Last night was the One World Together at Home concert, and that was like that was so many people. Lady Gaga, Stevie Wonder, Paul McCartney, The Roots, Usher, there were some Sesame Street characters, you know, David Beckham, like there was a ton of people. It wasn't just music, it was like there was some comedy and there was people praying and there was just all kinds of stuff. It was like a 2 or 3 hour event where everybody was just like, they would go to one person and then they'd talk and maybe play a song and they'd go to another person. But it was like a coordinated effort. And I think maybe all the proceeds went to like first responders or something like that.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think maybe Lady Gaga put it together or something.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, there you go. Take the floor, Nick. I know that you had some topics you wanted to throw out there.
You know, I forgot what they are, but I do have one that was on my mind from today. So text me what my topic was, or message me, and while I bring this one up, and this one will probably be quick. But what do you think of? I shouldn't say what do you think. So you and Coco, you're walking down the street, right? You're hand in hand. You're in love. Where do you stand, and where does Coco stand?
Ooh. I am usually on the left side.
Okay, so Does the left side matter? If it's what I'm trying to say is, are you always on the street or against the building, or does it matter or does it not matter? Is left your preference?
Yeah.
So it's okay, because this all started this morning when I saw somebody post this picture, and it was like, what's wrong with this picture? And it was like a couple that they were walking down the street together, and the guy was on his phone, and like the girl looked like she was cold, and the guy was warm, and he had a jacket. And people were like, well, one, he didn't give her the jacket. Two, he's on his phone and not holding her hand. And three, she's on the outside. And I was like, wow, I haven't thought about that in a really long time, because I don't typically walk down the street too much anymore, but like that did used to be a thing, like where the guy is on the street side, because like I don't really know why, actually. Like maybe because like if something splashed it would get the guy and not the girl, or is it from abduction or like, so I was curious, you know, you're a little bit older than me, and you grew up in a time where like manners and chivalry and stuff like that was important, so I was curious to get your take on that. Like, do you abide by those standards where it's like, you know what I mean, the guy walks against the street and the lady walks against the, you know what I mean, like the stores or the, you know, walls or whatever?
You know what? I never really took note of it, to be honest.
Yeah, see, that's weird, right? Like, but a lot of people in the comments were like, yo, this kid's mom never taught him right from wrong. This dude's a selfish bastard. He needs to get on the other side. People were claiming that it was so, like, a van couldn't roll up and snatch a girl off the streets. And I was like, that seems a little excessive. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right. That's weird.
Like, yeah, but I guess that's, like, a real thing where people are like, you know, the guy should always be on the outside. And I was like, well, let me ask Bay about that. You know what I mean? Because you're old school.
Now that this conversation has been had, I'm gonna have a mental note of this all the time now.
Well, I'm hoping that we get some comments that people tell us, like, what do you guys think? You're listening to the replay. Is that something you do with your lady? Do you move them to the inside so that you're on the outside? Is that something you were raised with? What do you guys think? So yeah, definitely.
We should put a poll up for that.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. I like it. now when I listen back to this with Coco, we'll get her input.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh man.
So the other thing that I wanted to talk about that I brought up to you was my new wheelchair. Like, I'm trying to be grateful. You know what I'm saying? like Helen and Kate went out and they got me a new wheelchair because it was going to cost so much money to get a replacement from insurance, and my old one broke. And then we won't get into the fact that Kate broke my wheelchair because I'm still angry over it, but whatever. We'll let it go. But like, so they got me this really nice wheelchair. It's extra wide. It's like, instead of like your normal 18 inches, it's like 24 inches or something like that. Nice leather seats and all the bells and whistles and stuff. And I've been to three places this week where I didn't fit in the doors to the store. Like, the grocery store is fine because it has these big open doors. Anywhere that has like double doors is cool because we could just open the second door. But like, we went to this Italian deli where, like, the chair wouldn't, like, it was too wide to even fit through, like, the strip mall door. And, like, I it's so fucking depressing, like, having to sit outside like a street urchin and, like, look through the windows while everybody else is shopping and talking and having a good time. And I'm just sitting there, like, just give me my damn hoagie and come on. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, dude.
So I thought I definitely had to bring that up. I'm sure we got some listeners that have, you know, gone through similar situations, whether it's with wheelchairs or canes or walkers or whatever. But, like, three times this week it happened, and I was just like, well, one was at a bakery, one was at a deli, and I think the second or third one was at a deli as well. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, I thought, like, we came up with a plan where, like, things had to be handicapped accessible. You know what I mean? Like, damn.
Like, there's probably a ramp to get in the spot, but there's not a wide enough spot to get the chair in.
Absolutely. That's, you nailed it. Like, there 100% was a ramp to get up, but the chair would not fit in. And I was thinking, like, I could probably stand up and Kate could like fold the chair up and move it in and then unfold it. And then I could take two or three steps to get back into the chair without being in too much pain. And like, that's fine. But what about when I can't? You know what I mean? Like, that's not me being able to do it now doesn't mean that I'll be able to do that a year from now. You know what I mean? So like, does that mean that I'm just done shopping in those places? Like, yeah, that sucks.
I say this, don't give in and keep up the fight and just get up and take them few steps and go back in.
Absolutely.
Don't think about it. You're fine.
I didn't do that. I'm going to be honest with you. I gave up the fight. I was pissed and I was just like, no, I'll just sit out here looking sorry for myself. And I was mad.
See, if you were here, I'd have to smack you upside your head.
You have to weigh, like, at least for me, like, I had to weigh sitting outside versus everybody looking at me while she folds up the chair and pushes it in and while I struggle to take those couple steps and then sit back down, put my feet back up in the, you know what I mean, the footrests and stuff, like, and ultimately I decided, like, I would rather them just look at the poor bastard outside than, like, watch me try to do it. You know what I mean? Like, because nobody's trying to help either. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're just kind of, like, watching, trying not to make eye contact. You know what I mean? Like,
damn. But, I'm going to, like, applaud you and give you some credit. When you put the video up about that the other day, you said you've been really trying to be grateful and count your blessings, and you know, you're saying, you know, a lot of good things have happened this week, and I'm really glad to see that you have you've acknowledged it and you've realized and witnessed and have been grateful for the good things that have been happening.
I'm trying, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times I'll make fun of people that and I'm not pointing at Wee Wee specifically. I'm just saying sometimes I make fun of people in my head about being positive, but I do internalize it. You know what I mean? Like, I do think, like, damn, maybe, like, this person's always smiling. Maybe if I was more positive, I'd be smiling more. So I have been trying to, like, find the good in situations and find the positive in situations. And Coco and Wee Wee are a big part of that because they are very positive people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and so yeah, man, I'm trying anyway to at least be a little more positive.
Well, keep going with it, please. I'm begging you.
Yeah, man. Because it would just be so easy to not be, like, and to let myself fall into this, like, you know what I mean? I hate myself. I hate my situation. I hate everything. And like, I have a lot of good going on right now too.
Yeah, and you want to know, like, the big thing that I really noticed out of the videos you put up the other day, and why I say that is because you were smiling. You had a smile.
Absolutely. Even when I'm pissed off, there's a little bit of a smile.
Right. So there you go.
Cool. Now, if I could just get my hands on some weed.
So on that note, let's wrap it up. We just hit a 73-minute mark. That's usually around our our whistle. So, I want to thank everybody for tuning in the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of fun. And thanks to Nick, as always, for everything you do and the conversations we have and the fun we have. And there you go. Make sure everybody goes to all of our outlets. We're you can hear this on Spreaker, which you're probably doing, or YouTube. It's also on Google Podcast, Spotify, Deezer, Podchaser, and some others I've probably missed. But make sure you check us out, tune in, and make sure you like and follow us all over social media. And Nick, do your professional clues.
All right, guys, well, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. Don't forget that you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, stuff like that. We are going to have a poll up later on where we talk about the inside versus the outside, where you stand when you're walking down the street with your lady. So definitely chime in there. Feel free to leave comments when you see us posting the link for this episode, because we want to know how you guys think. We want to know what you guys think. Were you raised properly? Are we savages? You know what I mean? All that stuff. But guys, until next time, don't forget there's always two things. You want to keep on winning and you want to make shit happen.